listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, and happy Memorial Day. This is Michael Sterling.
You know, you say that every week, but can you prove it?
I can.
Can you?
How do you want me to do that?
I'll take a driver's license to be fine. And any
something so simple.
Any indicative tattoos. Yes.
Any in what?
He is Michael Sterling. I am Paul Strolley, and this is State of the Arts.
Indeed.
And this is also our year anniversary.
Yes,
very
it is,
excited.
Paul. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Yippee.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
I think that's why that requires some applause.
There you go. Yes. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen. How kind of you.
I'm very excited with who we have today, Michael. But before we talk about that, do you want to kick us off?
I do. We'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Paul, Breakdown Services. Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, please visit them at BreakdownExpress.com.
Our thanks also go out to PerformingArtsLive.com for their ongoing support of our live arts calendar. PerformingArtsLive.com is the most comprehensive such listing service in Southern California, enabling you to search events by date, category, and region.
And kind enough to take time off from their Memorial Day holiday, Paul, we have in studio with us today a return visit by one of our favorite guests, the very funny comedian and equally fine actor, Christopher Meehan, who will be speaking with us in just a few minutes. Welcome, Chris.
Welcome, thank you. Chris.
Welcome. Wow, yes. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out. Thanks.
Joining us in our second half hour, a lady who's familiar to daytime television audiences across the country from her roles on two of TV's most popular soap operas, the lovely and talented Marie Wilson is in studio with us. Michael, welcome, Marie.
Welcome, Marie. Nice to have you.
I love her. God love her.
God love her.
Has been so patient with me the past 26 months, hasn't it been?
I've lost track.
26 months we've been together. We're doing a show together, which we'll talk,
months.
For a flea in her ear, which we'll talk about later.
It is the longest rehearsal period I've ever heard of, right? I mean, it's not 26 months, but
yes,
close to it.
When rehearsal for this show started, I had feathered bangs.
Yes, that's right.
I did.
And
yes.
Spider-Man hadn't started rehearsing yet.
I was wearing Spider-Man underoos at the time, or Garanimal clothes.
My. But I hear it's a fantastic show, which we're going to talk about.
We will talk about it after Chris talks about whatever thing he's doing.
I actually auditioned for the show.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You auditioned to replace the role of Tornell.
Yes.
Yes, which I tell you, you're missing out because they get in some hot clinches.
The audition process was great. I don't know if you remember this, Marie, but
yes,
it was one of these things where you're like, well, we're going to go in there. Do you mind if I say all my lines to your breasts? You know, it's that scene where you're groping and tackling.
But you say that at the start of every audition.
I say that in bars.
Yeah. Anyway,
Marie told me that she does radio, has done radio interviews in the past, but not ever in the studio.
Oh, really?
Yes,
so you've done phoners.
It's been phoners, yes,
right.
for the East Coast.
But you look quite comfortable.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. You do.
Good. I can
interfacing with
well.
Chris?
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
is
that,
interfacing.
He's adorable.
Yes.
She has a giant spit shield. She never takes a day off of being good looking.
And
you guys know that? Never.
And she's hired security, which I think is a little odd.
That's
good
right.
to see you again, Phil.
Good to see you too, Paul.
You like the way I just did that?
I
was doing a character.
Yeah, a little Phil Henry.
You know, so how was your week,
Michael?
Speaking of characters,
you know, I've lived here all my life. Nothing really
in this room.
Might as well. Nothing really surprises me. But last Saturday, I'm out and about doing errands, as we all do, and I had a sequence of unusual characters that I was exposed to, and I don't know. You know, it makes me stop and kind of ponder what people are really all about, why they think they can look like they do and get away with it. And it's the morning started off at the supermarket. And shopping and looking down an aisle and seeing a man, a regular looking guy in his mid-40s, and he was, you know, looking on the shelves, deciding what he was going to buy. And nothing unusual about that, except that he was wearing pajamas and bedroom slippers and a red terry cloth robe with a hood
Yeah. Michael, I was chilly. Okay? Yeah. It's chilly at Produce.
Yes. Is he in the mafia? Yeah. The one guy was walking around in pajamas forever. And, right?
I get to the checkout counter and I said to the gal checking me out, who I know very well, I said, you know, what's going on? People dressing like that. And it wasn't 7 o'clock in the morning, which still is not an excuse. And she said, oh, every Saturday, like clockwork, between such and such a time, he's here. This is when he buys. And I said, and where does this man live? She said, down the street. Just rolls out of bed, comes down here. And I said, what, is he an actor? He wants to get all this attention? No offense. And she said, no, he's a lawyer.
Wow.
Pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah, that is interesting.
I drive from this market, right, and I go up Coldwater Canyon. I come to a stoplight. And this woman is crossing. In fact, I'm in a little pocket of where there must be a synagogue because there's a lot of Hasidic Jews and they're coming out of the temple. And, you know, I think that's kind of a cool thing what they do. But this one lady is crossing now in the crosswalk. I'm assuming that she is part of this this group. And she's probably in her mid-50s, black dress, black beaded dress. Now, maybe she's not in this group, but black beaded dress, but long beads from the top to the... And hanging in strands.
Kind of flapperish.
Yeah. But from the top, all the way down. And a big hat, big black hat, hole in the back, and hair, not good hair, not even good hair, coming out the back, all the way down to the sidewalk.
Wow.
That's how she walked across the street, a little overweight, and I thought, what in the world? Who let
so
her out of the house?
So were Gomez and Morticia walking with her?
Exactly. Cousin it. Yeah.
Well, this and is then great character analysis. Yeah.
I get to this next stop, and I am—it's a small shopping center—and I'm walking to my store, past a nail salon, and there's an Asian woman sitting in the chair having her nails done, and she's got a calico cat live on her head.
On her head.
Spread eagle.
On her head.
Yeah.
A calico cat on her head. Live, real cat.
Real cat sitting there like there is nothing on her head. Having her nails done, conversing with the...
These were the first three people that you encountered on your Saturday.
Yeah. So, you know, after I thought about it, I thought a little bad because I thought...
You still drinking that weird tea, Michael? Yeah. You drinking that special tea?
I thought, who am I to judge this or make a comment or think these things?
And besides, who's going to find out?
Yeah. Just between us.
Yeah. I go home and I'm sitting out in the back of my beautiful... house in the backyard, and it's a beautiful day, and I'm thinking about this. I'm kind of feeling bad that I've even, you know, questioned any of it. And all of a sudden, I feel something hit my hair, and I said to the other person sitting at the table, I said, oh, God, I said, please tell me that a bird didn't just poop on my hair. And indeed, they did.
Yes.
The bird did.
Good luck.
It is. That's what I hear.
Lithuania.
It was a shoe bird.
You're going to be filthy rich.
So you know what they say. Yeah?
No, a foo bird.
A foo bird.
Yeah, not a shoe bird.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, a foo bird.
Yeah.
So you didn't clean it off because, as they say, when the foo shits, wear it.
That's right.
Good night, everybody. Thank you. Good night.
So
God,
that was the highlight of my week, Paul. Thanks for asking.
If that's the highlight of your week, that's a special kind of tragic,
isn't it?
Michael.
Yeah,
that really is unfortunate.
That's what I thought.
Let's talk to Chris, shall we?
Oh,
we should. Joining us, I've already said that, Paul, so I'm just going to move past that. And a stand-up comedian, ladies and gentlemen, and an actor. He's most proud of his performance as a good son. However, his mother repeatedly refers to him as the devil's work. From film and television, he'll take the spotlight in a new comedy titled If Church Walls Could Talk, an evening of Catholic comedy, opening June 10th here in Los Angeles at the Miles Playhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the lovely and talented Mr. Christopher Meehan.
You know, I was at the...
I'm sorry, we're out of time.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Eric.
Thank
we'll
always.
See your play, Chris. Yeah, sounds cute. Sounds like a cute thing.
Oh, it's cute. It's cute. You know, speaking, I was at the grocery store. I was at Whole Foods. Can we say that? Are they a sponsor?
Sure. Well, they will be now.
There's no alpha males there. They're just alpha males. Anyway.
Oh.
Can I get the rim shot? Can I get that?
Certainly. Sorry. Sorry.
No,
would you say that again?
You know, they have... there's no alpha males. They're just alpha males. Oh, I'm here. Sure. Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
Pull the plug.
I think we should just set that one on a loop.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. That was
So how are you, Mr. Flay?
I'm doing great. Here, yeah, Bobby Flay. Yeah. People say I look like Bobby Flay. And it was so nice that I came in here on my day off, but that's inferring that I have a job to be off from. No, this is just another Monday or Saturday or Thursday or whatever.
One day off from selling the blood is actually a good day.
That's right. Yes.
But you view the methadone clinic as sort of your job, right?
Yeah.
You go there
kind
every day.
Home away from home. Yeah, home away from home.
Yeah.
But Chris, you do have a job. You're opening in a new comedy that you've written.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
And it's a fundraiser for a group that you are endorsing here. Well, tell us a little bit about this.
It's the G.K. Chesterton Theater Group. It's not a religious group, but they do religious plays, so I don't know. And it's a fundraiser. And these guys, it's Cal Gallagher and Peter Gallagher. Mm-hmm. They're great guys. And I've just been helping them out. They've had some pretty big productions that I couldn't be involved with. But they asked me to do a night of comedy, so I wrote a play. So
now, are you Catholic?
Excuse me?
Are you Catholic?
Yeah.
You are? Okay.
Roman
so it's all safe material?
Not so much. I will say this. I wanted...
We're talking about the devil's work.
Yeah, right?
You a recovering Catholic? That's the question.
We're all... Yeah, what is it, a practicing Catholic? If I get it right once, I won't have to practice anymore. Here we go. There's no alfalfa sprouts. Oh, that was wrong. Oh, geez.
Damn. You're screwing. You're crashing, man.
I'm burning. I'm burning. Hey, do you guys think St. Joseph was the first guy in history to go, Jesus! Christ! Close the door. Were you born in a barn?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Totally screwed your timing.
You really screwed that up.
You screwed that up.
But I wasn't a very good student. That's why I went to a Bible college. We only got to read the one book. Anyway.
Oh.
First question on the test: who's Jesus? Christ, I don't know. Anyway, I was going through the book of Job, looking for employment. All right, let's roll. We're rolling. This is huge.
So is this like the show's gonna be?
Do we still have to? Oh my gosh! I had a caramel macchiato, whatever. Something.
Did you?
Double, yeah. Wow, that was good.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
So you said this is interesting because you said it was a play.
Yeah.
But I was under the impression it's more like a series of little vignettes.
Yeah, they're tied in one act.
Okay.
At the beginning, I kind of lifted this from Birds in a Church in New York. I think it was Joe Pantora I got the idea from. But basically, parakeets get loose in a church, and throughout the play, we kind of weave in these birds, mm-hmm. Kind of folding in. They're parakeets, but they become the Holy Spirit. And they, funny that you mentioned this, they crap on people throughout the play.
Right.
So,
I fit right in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Michael, you got comps.
Yeah, I got comps. That's right. That's right. And it's basically, so much goes on in a church. And what I thought was interesting is, besides the birds crapping on people, is that in basements of church, there's all these AA meetings. And it's kind of interesting that the foundation of all these churches is another movement going on.
Right.
And so besides that, I kind of have a little bit of that in there. And just everything goes on in a church. I mean, from birth to death to marriages to divorce to skeptics to... So there's just a lot in there. I mean, and there's one scene where they have to fire an organist, and it is an organization. You got to fire people.
Yeah.
So there's really no...
There's a business. It's like a nonprofit,
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you do it? So, it's life in there, so...
And it's St. Dymphna's, right? I know a little about St. Dymphna from Mary McHale. I did a show in Chicago with Mary McHale's sister, Bernie's Bingo Bash.
Yes, yeah.
And she's always raising money for St. Dymphna. Actual patron, Irish patron saint.
Yeah.
She's a patron saint of mental disorders.
Yes.
And it's not a joke. She's a patron saint of mental disorders because her father was like a Viking who went off to sea, and her mother died while he was at sea, and then he came back, and by the time he came back, his daughter was like 20 years old, and he's like, okay, my wife's dead, I'm going to marry you now. And because she was so unable to do that, she killed herself. But I imagine it was a fairly stressful time.
Yes.
So she went crazy. So she went crazy.
And I tried to weave that into the show, but it's a little tough to do that.
Yeah.
So,
nothing makes him yuck like Viking incest. Yeah. Big yucks there. I'm sorry. Is this the Viking incest comedy or the musical?
So musical. Yeah. You know, also, there's a great bar in Lower East Side, New York, called St. Diffin's.
Yes, I know. I used to go there all the time when I was doing my show there, because the apartment that they put me up in was right around the corner from St. Diffin's.
Yeah.
I used to go there all the time.
Yeah, Dimpton, so it's Dimpton? I've never heard of this name. And I am Catholic.
St. Dimpfna. No.
Oh, Dimpfna.
Dimpfna.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Either
kind
of I,
like
actually.
Nympha.
Yeah. No, well, she, maybe. Maybe. Yeah. With the whole Viking.
Yeah. And the daughter and the marriage. Yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, Peter Gallagher is a producer. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Peter Gallagher?
No. Peter Gallagher, he works at Brilstein Gray.
I think Peter Gallagher.
Yeah, that Peter Gallagher.
The Peter Gallagher who smashes watermelons with sledgehammers?
Yeah. Oh,
that's a different Gallagher. I'm sorry.
A different Gallagher.
Sorry.
Didn't he have a brother that was stealing his act and smashing watermelons before he showed up?
Yeah.
And everyone thought,
The other Gallagher.
That was just Gallagher.
That was just Gallagher,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Peter Gallagher, I was thinking it was a Broadway star.
No, and the actor, Peter Gallagher, who's...
That's the one I'm thinking of.
He's a Broadway star, too?
Broadway star, yeah.
I thought he was just like a film actor. He sings, too?
Yeah, very well.
They all sing.
Yeah.
Who's on Modern Family? Is that Peter Gallagher? Or who's the dad?
No, but he's a Peter Gallagher type, as they say.
Yeah.
Give me a Peter Gallagher type.
Yeah. You know, I auditioned for that, for the lead in Modern Family.
Did
but
you?
It was... when I first got to town, so I didn't know that you're supposed to actually memorize and get coached on it. So I decided to riff. I'm not kidding you.
No.
You finally get a meeting, I walk on, I'm like, wow, the lot, there's a car chase going on. I go meet people, and I just go, yeah, whew. I'm like writing little jokes, paraphrasing, and they're just looking at me. I'm like, oh, I think it went pretty well. And you find out later that you just never do this, I'm on the plane, actually, watching this sitcom, and it's a pilot. And I'm like, wow, this looks really familiar. And I realized the pilot was shot exactly like the script.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And that's not the case normally, either.
Yeah.
Let's pitch this before we forget. If Church Walls Could Talk, this is June 10th through the 19th. This is at the Miles Playhouse, 1130 Lincoln Boulevard in beautiful Santa Monica. This is an evening of Catholic comedy. As I said, June 10th through the 19th. It's $10 at the door. There's parking at 808 Wilshire. For more info, call 310-462-5141. That's 310-462-5141. And you can also visit www.gkctheater, theaters with the R-E spelling, gkctheater.org. So you get all the information there.
Paul, why do you say the www with a twang, like a country twang?
I don't know why. I don't know why. But, sometimes country music just seizes me. So,
such as the career of our new American Idol, if anybody cares.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a country boy, 17 years old. He took this title.
Yeah. Really?
Yes, he did, and he's actually very good.
Yeah, he's coming to our show.
Is he?
He's handing out free gifts for everyone.
Is he going?
Peter Gallagher's coming too.
I don't know
the show. If you guys want to come to the show, meet some stars.
The guy from American Idol is going to be there smashing watermelons.
Scotty McCrory.
On Peter Gallagher.
Yeah. Have I just clustered this whole interview? No one knows where this is going.
You can't. Be careful what you say, because it's internet radio, and if you say clusterfuck, we'll be in a ton of trouble. So be sure not to
plug in a Catholic.
Oh, see, really? Michael's mad at me again.
I'm angry. By the way, I do want to say, it's a clean show. It's funny, but that was a challenge. Keep it clean.
Are you talking about this show or your show?
But you don't normally go that route.
Yeah, I try to operate. Yeah, I do. It's more of a challenge and it's fun. I think it's a little overdone, people cursing.
Okay, so you're basically saying that what I did was frivolous and unnecessary.
No, it's all right. Let's hug it out. A-frame hug. Not too close, Paul. Easy does it. Where's it security guard?
I don't want to hug you on Pantsless Monday.
Oh, my gosh.
It's Pantsless Monday.
It's wacky Pantsless Monday.
No one knows. We're on the radio.
I came.
Paul, can you come over and help me with my golf swing?
I don't want to do that again.
We only do that on Tuesday.
Okay.
Shirtless Tuesday.
We want to talk about one more thing, though, because Chris and I were both involved in a project with a fantastic director named Cyrus Miracle.
Oh, your motion picture.
And we did a short film. Yes, we did a short film called Gratitude that we filmed. What was that, a couple of months ago, Chris?
It was in February, yeah.
It was February. And Chris was nice enough to get me involved in that. And... it has turned out just wonderfully, and we just found out that it got selected for the Philadelphia Independent Film Festival.
One of many.
Which will be taking place, yes, first of many. We have not heard back yet, but it's not like we're due to hear back yet, because the other decisions have not been made yet. But it's out to the festivals. But this is the first one that it was submitted to. So it's very encouraging, because it not only got selected, but it got selected for the premium placement. It's the final night of the festival, which is June 26th. This is at the Benjamin Franklin Institute, which is the main venue for the whole film festival, because they're doing a lot of smaller venues. But to get into the, to be there on the final night and to be in the premier venue of the event, we're very happy for Cirrus, and we're very thankful to be involved.
Are you going to Philadelphia?
Yeah, I think so. I'm going to be in New York. So
so will he.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet Paul's family. I think it'll be great.
Charlotte's going to be there.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
Charlotte, oh, Paul.
Yeah.
Yes. Charlotte, I'm so excited.
I wish my mother was listening today, because Marie is so attractive. And my mother's definition of attractive is if someone's on a soap opera.
Oh, really?
She says.
Judges all others by that.
Well, you know, I saw this guy in the store, and I'm telling you, Paul, he could have been on a soap opera.
So I immediately know that he was like chiseled out of marble.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, Paul, you're funny, but let's face it. You know, you're not soap opera material.
Oh, God bless you.
No, she would never say that to me. She would never say that.
Just wait, Chris, till you meet these wonderful people. They actually are wonderful, all of them.
They are.
Yeah.
They are.
And that voice will come to life right in front of you.
We are so proud of you. Paul, get the car. I'll have another cheese ball. These are good, but they repeat on me.
Chris, we touched upon it lightly the last time you were here, but you come from a very large family. Eight children, right?
Eight children, yeah.
And where are all of... Where, the family is up north? Northern California?
Yeah, mostly in San Francisco, yeah. They've all returned home.
Siblings are...
Actually, yeah.
Well, they're monitored, so they have to stay around the house, right?
They have to.
What's that ankle thing goes on?
Yeah. The beacon.
Yeah, right.
The beacon. Which is mom's dinner bell.
Yeah.
We all come. Yeah, it's...
brothers, sisters?
I have three brothers and four sisters.
Mm.
And
wow. And you're the youngest?
I was the youngest. Funny enough, I was...
And straight?
Yeah, that's the go figure. I know, actually, yeah. Being Catholic in San Francisco is an alternative lifestyle. funny, I was a huge baby. I was 16 pounds.
Are you serious?
Yeah, what's known as a Samoan preemie. Anyway, moving on.
That's the worst. Would you just say that again?
That's the worst. No, I can't.
We can't.
Bingo. Yeah, but you know what? But Michael, we had 50 kids on the block. I'm sure you know it came from that era where there's Boyles had I think 9 and the Walshes had 10 or something like that. Forgive me, I forgot.
Everybody was Catholic then.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of just a bunch of kids.
Your poor mother.
And you all knew each other. Like it was also a time when people weren't nearly as transient as they are now. So you probably knew all those kids for like years. Because I know my neighborhood, the people I went to first grade with, I graduated high school with.
Yeah, very, very provincial, actually, funny, in San Francisco. It was organized by a parish, you know. It was like Holy Name, St. Anne's, St. Brendan's. You kind of stayed in your... It was like little gangs.
Yeah.
What is your confirmation name?
Martin DePorres.
Martin DePorres.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
And, go figure.
What's a confirmation name?
You get confirmed at one point in your youth as you're kind of you do your first communion and then you have your confirmation and you choose a patron saint with whom you most identify.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah.
Mine is Dominic Savio.
I thought you were Saint
Irish.
I thought
the
you
teenage
were
Saint
Dymphna.
No, mine is Saint Nympha.
There you go. There you go. I'm sure there's a patron saint for that, but yeah, anyway, it was a great town to grow up in. And
and you're so normal. And where are the other kids? What are they doing? What are your brothers and
sisters?
Besides your one brother who's in show business.
Howard's a writer. And, the other ones. You know, my mom was taught that men can't do anything. So, of course, that was transferred to the boys. But my sisters are actually quite successful. But my brother Michael, actually, he married well, a wonderful wife, and but he has, when you walk into his house, he has very tall ceilings. He has a flying trapeze.
Really?
You walk in, there's just this thing that you swing on, And
he has a trapeze Michael's, in his house.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's a catcher in the circus school. He does stand-up comedy, he's an artist, and then he also is the guy on the other swing that catches you when you release.
Really?
Yeah.
You're not making this up?
No, honest to gosh, honest to gosh. I'm doing a Catholic show.
Yeah,
we can't drop the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
After the Jesus jokes,
yeah,
though.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Geez. And the golf swing. big family.
Oh, man. unusual.
I think that's actually kind of cool. I do, because you know, families today are so dysfunctional, and they're so separated, and they're so not important to one another.
Oh, well, we were dysfunctional and not
important.
No,
I'm sure. You're Catholic. That comes with being Catholic, doesn't it?
Yeah, I remember being at the dinner, and one of my sisters was at the table and just seeing Howard stuff fly out the back window. Clock radio, lamp, bed, mattress. You know, it was like it was gang warfare.
Just throwing stuff out the window.
Yeah, she was mad at him.
Oh, she was doing it.
My sister was doing it.
Did your mom do the wooden spoon?
The wooden spoon until I put a book in my pants. And then we got to steal.
Then they got smart.
The McGuigans had a Hot Wheel track that was just for the Meehans, and they mounted it on the coat rack like you would a gun over the deer thing. I'm not kidding you.
Oh,
it was
the
Meehan Hot Wheel track.
That Hot Wheel track. Do you remember those?
Yeah.
You know the Hot Wheels? Hot Wheels.
Yes, I know the Hot Wheels.
And those plastic tracks, you know, and those were, because they cut the air like a turn of the century switch. And you just felt that sting.
Spock is
my mother tried to pull us my mother tried to pull our hair, but it always backfired on her because she would pull our hair and then she'd give us crew cuts and then she couldn't get a grip. So she'd go to grab us and it would just be like trying to grab a bowling ball.
And my mom could take a punch.
Could you?
No, we tried. You know what I mean? You want to get a combo off, but no, she would come back around.
Yeah. Well, she's Irish.
She's just Portuguese.
She's Portuguese.
Yeah, my dad was Irish. Was
Irish and Portuguese. Nothing. No passion in that household.
Yeah, none. Zippo. Zippo. No alcoholics either.
How was the food?
No bipolar. What?
How was the food?
Oh, it was pretty bad. It's pretty bad. Spices, salt.
What's a pierogi with corned beef?
No.
Oh, good Polish.
Good piece. My mom is a bit of a celebrity.
Was she?
Yeah, she is. She was one of the first tenured organic chemistry professors.
Really?
Yeah. So she loved working. Actually, if you had 8 kids, you probably want to get out of the house.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. She got hired for 3 years and then took a 14-year maternity leave.
Oh, God. Can you believe that? She's one of those people that you probably have every picture of you have of her in the 70s. She's either pregnant or holding a baby.
Yeah. Or in a beaker.
Or a beaker.
A beaker. No, my mom is, my mom is 86 and she still works.
God bless her.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
Well, you have a wealth of material to draw on. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Meehan, If Church Walls Could Talk, a play that he has written, an evening of Catholic comedy at the Miles Playhouse in Los Angeles, Santa Monica, actually, June 10th through the 19th. And for tickets, 310-462-5141. Once again, 310-462-5141. Or visit the website of the producing theater company, GKC Theater, that's with an R-E, .org.
And we're going to do our little arts calendar right now before we speak to Maria. But Chris, you can stick around, right?
Sure.
Okay,
guys,
good.
Thank
because
you.
I have a little crick in my neck. So if you could massage me during the last half of the show, that
so
would be great.
So polite for a Catholic boy.
Thank you. True Rock Theater and the Hayworth Theater present a limited engagement of the critically acclaimed production of Just Imagine, starring Tim Piper as John Lennon and his amazing band Working Class Hero. Imagine John Lennon returns for one last concert, and you are there. Just Imagine transports you to another place and time, putting you one-on-one with the musical legend who shook the world. Experience Lennon's timeless musical genius as Tim Piper takes you through John's life from tumultuous childhood to worldwide pop music superstar to groundbreaking social icon that influenced generations. You'll share a unique perspective on Lennon's life, the stories behind the songs, and revealing insights about the birth of the Beatles, the pressures of superstardom, and the man's personal relationships and love, and with his fellow Beatles. Don't miss a dynamic evening now on stage at the Hayworth Theater in Los Angeles through June 12th.
In 100 Saints, you should know a priest... There you go, Chris. A priest who must reconcile his desires with his role in the church, a teenage boy confused about his own sexuality, and a young woman desperate for spiritual validation are all brought together on one fateful night and discover the tenuous common ground they share. 100 Saints You Should Know takes us on a compelling and heartbreaking journey in search for self in a discriminatory and alienating world. Playwright Kate Fedor is a recipient of the Kennedy Center's Roger L. Stevens Award, the National Theater Conference's Barry Davis Award, and a Joseph Jefferson Citation. 100 Saints You Should Know was originally produced off-Broadway in 2007 at Playwrights Horizon. However, you can catch it in its West Coast premiere at Hollywood's Elephant Theater Company on stage now through June 26th.
Wow. That's like plugging Schindler's List after Fiddler on the Roof. I mean,
I'll take bad timing for 500, Alex.
It's a fantastic play, though. I've heard a lot about it.
Do you know the play?
No, but I'm just... I don't know these things. I'm uncomfortable.
You know, we here at State of the Arts never know what we're going to be talking about with our guests.
You never know. I don't know.
Schindler's List
after Fiddler on the Roof. That's a...
Don't I get some sort of an award for keeping a straight face during that whole thing with the three of you in the background?
Yes, you do. Yes,
that's
you do.
That's talent.
There you go. That's something. I don't know about talent.
That was great. Let's talk to Marie now, shall we?
Well, we should tell people, Paul, that for more information about these events in today's Live Arts calendar, that you can visit either stateoftheartsla.com or performingartslive.com, where you can also peruse what's happening in Southern California every day of the week.
All right.
All right. Paul, why don't you give a lovely intro?
I certainly will. Certainly will. Yes. Our next guest opens this week in A Flea in Her Ear, the classic comedy sex farce, Feydeau's classic comedy sex farce, at the Edgemar Center for the Arts in Santa Monica, California. Millions of television viewers remember her as Meg Snyder from her five-year run on the CBS hit daytime drama As the World Turns, yet another classic unto itself. Please welcome Miss Marie Wilson.
Hi.
How are you, Marie?
Very informed. I learned a lot about having boys in the family, because I grew up with all girls in our family. So
how many?
It's a whole different lifestyle.
How many in your family, Marie?
Three girls altogether.
Yeah.
I was the eldest.
You were. So,
yeah, and you're straight?
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks. Very equal. Thank you.
I grew up in Toronto, so there's lots of.
Oh, well, you've got to be straight then.
Yes, okay. You can. Or else they export you.
They do to America.
Send you out with some maple syrup.
Yep. And that's why we stay, because we bring the
off
maple syrup.
But you're from Greece originally, right?
I was born in Greece.
Yeah. This is so cool. Yeah. Athens.
And you're straight. sorry. Now, come on now.
Don't make assumptions about Greece, because we made assumptions about the Catholic Church.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, if you're a Greek priest.
Oh, jeez, come on. This is a kid's show.
I'm sorry.
Hey, question. Is it okay if I ask a question?
Or
am I
sure.
I've had my time. I need to go.
No, anyway. You can ask
a question.
Can you tell Phil, the security guard, to take a step back? Step off, Tiger.
I don't remember the voice I did earlier.
Have you found a pattern where you have dated or married the youngest male of a family?
No.
Okay, never mind. Because they should date the eldest.
Oh, really?
It's kind of weird, yeah.
Really? You're just drawn to women that are older sibling types?
Yes, they can be younger than me, but it's, I think, a weird connection.
Have you noticed that in other people? Anyway.
Yeah, sometimes. Anyway.
Maybe it's a Catholic thing.
It might
could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
I think we should skirt the Catholic issue. Something here. The question you were asking her, if she is attracted to men older than herself?
No. So has she dated...
Dated.
Always the youngest male of a family.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah. No.
I'm actually married to the oldest male of the family.
Oh, so you guys are very mature and...
Well.
Yeah.
I don't know
responsible.
About that. Paul will tell you.
Responsible.
And you have a 10-year-old daughter yourself, right?
Yes.
Sky.
Yes.
Well, let's give a shout out to her. Hi, Sky.
Yeah. She's at Hurricane Harbor today enjoying the water sports.
Oh, good for her.
Hurricane Harbor. Yeah.
Nice that someone is enjoying the holiday weekend.
Really? Yeah. And she's with your husband, Mike?
She's with her Girl Scout troop, actually. So she's just hanging out with all her girlfriends.
So I think.
I was told.
So now, Marie, tell us about... you had a experience with Edgemar. You started as an Edgemar company member. You were taking classes there, and then you had to take a break because you got hired right away. Isn't that what happened?
I actually started with Larry Moss and Michelle Danner when they were over at the 3rd Street Promenade.
Okay.
And then I got Poor Charles, so, you know, it didn't last too long because, you know, on a soap schedule, you kind of are there 5 days a week. So it's a full schedule. And
Is it as grueling as people say it is? Because my friend Christine Tucci was on a soap for a long time.
And, well, initially it is. I remember the first day getting like 3 scripts of 80 pages each, and my hands started sweating going, I can't do this. I'm going to quit. Oh. But, you know, it gets easier and easier.
It's like a muscle. Memory's like a muscle the more you use it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so you went from there to... You look like you have something to say.
No, I'm sorry. I forgot what you said.
What?
I forgot what you said about memory. I'm psychic, but I have amnesia, so I know ahead of time what I'm going to forget. Anyway, Michael Meehan's joke. That's my brother's joke. And Rimshot, thank you. Thank Michael you. Meehan. Michael Meehan.
Michael Meehan. Just send him $5 right now. So straight from Danmos Acting Studio to getting on Poor Charles. That doesn't suck. That's not a bad thing.
That was it was great, and it was a great group of people, and it was a steady gig, which is very unusual in our business. So yeah. It was really nice. It was really nice. And then I got the other gig going back east, which was a little challenging, flying back and forth every week. So.
Oh, it didn't shoot here?
No, it shot in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh. You don't say that with much affection.
Well, it was a schlep out there.
Yes.
So,
Was it at the Silver Cup Studios? Or, no, that's Long Island City.
GC Studios.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that one. Did I sound like I knew that one?
Yeah, you did. I believed
did I?
You.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I even believed you. I thought, oh, maybe it was.
There is no such silver cup.
I'm a chameleon. I'm an artist. So let's go on to Flea in Her Ear. So you are playing Yvonne, the ear in question.
Yes.
Yes, Yvonne.
Yes.
And this is the character, her character is your wife.
Yes.
Paul, in the
she,
show. Paul, she, of course, being in the same show, ladies and gentlemen.
She plays my wife in the show, yes. And she is amazingly tolerant of my idiosyncratic behavior.
Would you say that he has some idiosyncrasies?
After 26 months, we all have it.
Yes.
Yes, it has been. No, but I'm just, I have a tendency to be a little edgier than most in the rehearsal process.
Oh, well, not you, Paul.
Everyone's a lot more sort of understanding and passive, and I can get a little snarky.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, he's
yeah.
funny.
What
he
did you say? What did you say? Yeah, like it was a foregone.
I know the snarky.
A foregone conclusion. He's like, yeah? Like, is there more? Because it can't be that much, Captain Obvious. We know that. But Chris and I worked on a show last year.
That.
And I was okay in that, wasn't I?
Beautiful. You were beautiful.
Yeah.
Backstage,
just sort of enjoying the time off and exploring each other's masculinity.
Egg salad on a waffle iron.
Yes.
I had.
Yes. Okay. No, we don't have to tell that story.
I'd love to hear that story.
No, you don't.
Trust dietary issues.
Yes. Trust me, you don't. Yes. Yeah.
I will say that his first entrance in your show that you worked on together, killer. He didn't have one word of dialogue.
No, that was his. You're talking about his second entrance.
Was it the second?
The first entrance was the funniest thing that Chris ever said. Was he was a waiter at a bar mitzvah, and all he was supposed to do was come on stage and say, you know, are you two beggars? Because it was like the theme of the bar mitzvah was Jesus Christ Superstar. So there was a beggar's table and a Pontius Pilate table and all these.
Yeah.
So all he had to say was, are you two beggars? Because you're at this table. Yeah, that's all he had to say. But of course, Chris being Chris had to get a wig and his own lighting, and he put the wig on backwards so he looked like a beetle, and he had Buddy Holly glasses on, and because it's a bar mitzvah, Chris walks out on stage, and I should mention that the playwright himself is on stage in the scene, and Chris just turns off stage to an imaginary busboy and goes, Carlos, no carnes con leche. Just collapsed in hysterics. No carnes con leche. So
always improving.
Ridiculous. So, but back to Flea in Her Ear.
Back to Flea in Her Ear.
So, we open Thursday. You looking forward to it?
I know. I'm excited.
It's really gelled the past couple of days.
You know what?
It?
I was impressed, especially rehearsal last night. I thought it really came together. It was really amazing. And, you see it. You see it all coming together, and it gets more exciting the more you time
Can you
goes by.
Kind of give us a capsule summary of the show, of the plot? So people know, because it's the farce that has kind of set the temperature for all things to follow, right?
Yes. Yvonne gets an idea or a flea in her ear that something has gone awry, and she comes up with a plan.
Let's just call a spade a spade. Basically, for lack of a better term, Chandel is shooting pool with a rope. You know what I'm saying? That's the problem.
How does your character, Paul?
Yes. He's putting toothpaste back in the tube. So, so that's the problem, and that starts her thinking. Yes.
And we're off to the races.
Yes. And so it's all about that miscommunication, and I didn't mean to take the ball from
No, I wouldn't have worded it that way, so that's right.
I'm sure you wouldn't have.
No, because you're a polite, lovely woman with some social mores. I do want to give the cast a shout-out, because it's an incredible collection of people. So I would like to say hello, and we should both say hello, actually, to Brian Bertone, Aria Bruss, Paul Buxton, Joshua Fishbein, Samara Friedman, Mark Gadbois, Damon Lira, Chris Lohr, Chichi Navarro,
my
Scott
friend,
Roberts.
My friend
yes.
on Facebook, Chichi Navarro.
Chichi, yeah. Yes. Selga Sanders, Teresa Tilley, Claire Troutvetter, and Marie Wilson, who is here with us to the great cast. And, of course, Doug Kayback, the phenomenal director who's really lending his talent. Doug, who we had on the show last week.
Yes, what a talented man he
yes.
is.
And a very talented cast, I have to say. If it wasn't for everybody bringing all what they have to the table, it wouldn't
It
is.
It's madness. I mean, it's 14 people in the cast. It's this incredible set. It's slamming doors. It's spinning beds. The costumes are astounding.
And the pace is overwhelming. So for everybody to keep their energy level up that high and just keep going for all the three acts, it's pretty impressive.
Well,
pretty
I brought in the Thorazine drip for backstage, so we're going to have a little hookup to that little IV.
Thank you.
Get that going. I don't even know what Thorazine does.
So thoughtful,
I like that word, though.
Yeah. Wow.
Like
and always thinking of everyone.
I'm a helper.
You're a helper.
I'm a helper.
Yeah, there's actually a little bit of a codependent. When you look up codependent dictionary, there's no picture because Paul's up helping the photographer. But you know what? During the audition process, because I got slashed from that. But watching you and who was your co-guy?
Scott Roberts.
Scott, just really fantastic.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to seeing this.
And Scott has brought a tremendous amount to the show, not only with his talent as an actor, but also he's done a tremendous amount with it. We have this phenomenal set change in the middle of the show to go from Chandel's home to the inn, to the hotel that I won't give the name away here because it's too cool. But and Scott sort of took point on orchestrating a very complicated set change in addition to helping Doug with that. And we're very grateful to him. He's sort of like Scott's sort of like me without the temper, don't you think? Don't you think?
I don't think you have a temper. You think you have a temper?
Oh, I have a temper. There's no way around that. Anyway, no way around that.
I already told you I have a temper, and if you listened, then you would know.
Yeah, you don't want to cross it, Marie.
Okay, yeah. I'll know that.
Yeah, the Italian rears his ugly head on occasion.
You know, one thing I wanted to ask Marie about, because I see it in her biographical material here, is you did the motion picture, you played Mary Bono in the ABC television movie And the Beat Goes On, the Sonny and Cher story.
Oh, that was such a blast, especially
what a cool thing,
oh
huh?
It was so cool, especially seeing the actors and seeing the hair and makeup that was involved and seeing the transformation. That was the most fun to watch show. So yeah, everybody did a great job.
And was there ever a visit by Sonny and Cher onto the set of that movie?
Not while I was there. While I was there. I don't know if there were visits afterwards, but no, not while I was there. Yeah.
Interesting.
Everybody was busy. And
of course,
Mary Bono was busy.
Their son is getting quite a bit of publicity.
Oh, her son,
yes.
Elijah
her
Blue?
Son, her son. No.
Chastity, I think it's
Chastity Bono, which is not Chaz.
Chaz, yes.
And you know what? I must say, I hats off to the guy. He is handling himself like the ultimate pro, and, you know, nothing derogatory is being said about him by anybody.
I tell you, it's really incredible because he is so obviously in his own skin now.
Yeah.
And everyone, it's such an easy thing to poke fun at and be cruel with, and so many people are. But the dignity with which he's sort of like leading this vanguard is really inspirational. I think he should be applauded for that. So
absolutely.
Let's applaud him for it.
Yeah.
Hey. Here you go. Chaz Bono.
Well, what a great thing to be. I actually saw that movie, and I thought it was terrific.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun to do.
And now the boys are what is it, boys? They're laughing, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know exactly what it is.
I have no idea what Chris
Meehan is. A bright crimson red. Just let it all out, Chris. Let it all out.
We have like a million Catholic jokes that we can't do.
But you're right. It's easy prey with he has handled himself very well. I'm actually impressed with watching it. But I'm just thinking of a joke. In San Francisco, you know, the city pays for the operation now.
Didn't know that.
Do they really?
The city government does, but yeah, that's. So if you're a city employee, that's the place. Well, if you have this thing that's you want to happen, you would, she get a job with San Francisco City. But it's also created a lot of bureaucracy because now they have a spare parts department. Sorry. You know what? Hold on, though. That's a general joke.
That's a general joke. But see, you were saying that the Catholics, we can't just poke fun at the Catholics.
It's not even my joke. It's my brother's joke. He says it's so much better. And
do you have any jokes that are yours?
Yeah.
That you
can share? Where's the beef? By the way, I just saw Don Rickles at Reagan's inaugural ball. I think it's 1985.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. YouTube it.
Oh no.
He's ruthless, and you're like, wow.
Oh no. I have one of the best albums ever is 1967 Hello Dummy, and it's Don Rickles' Vegas act, and you could not do 10% of it now because it's so politically incorrect, but it's weep-inducingly funny.
Oh yeah.
Very
yeah.
funny.
And you know, the interesting thing about Don Rickles is that in person...
He's actually a woman?
Oh, God. We've reached a new low here.
I'm sorry.
You know, no. He's actually a very much a gentleman.
And, oh, no. I mean, I've heard that.
Top drawer gentleman. Nothing like that persona when you meet him off stage.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah.
Very nice to hear.
He would have to be. You know, he's got... Did you see the John Landis documentary, Mr. Wonderful?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
That was wonderful.
Mr. Wonderful. Okay, let's talk about we only have like 5 minutes left, so we got to
It's Marie's initiation. Yes. Chris has done it once before, so he's going to give us another treat.
Marie.
I'm concerned.
The most embarrassing thing to happen on stage. You said you had something that was...
Yes, I have something embarrassing, but in a room full of guys.
Look what this show has been thus far.
I know.
Just
I
let
know.
It all
it's
out.
It's not embarrassing anymore.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It was right after I had my daughter, and I was doing a scene on Port Charles, actually. And my daughter was upstairs in the dressing room, and I was breastfeeding at the time. And the scene I was doing was a bed scene. And it took a lot of time to shoot. You know, there's a lot of choreography that people don't know about. So I was getting fuller and fuller. With milk, and I didn't realize that we've been on the set now for 2 hours, and by the time the scene was over, I lifted the sheet, and there were two wet stains on the sheet. I think I went red by the end of it. And all the crew was there going, oh, my God. And I thought, oh.
How tasteful. Oh, man. That is just...
Yeah.
Was it like Forrest Gump? Was it like two smiley faces?
Yeah, without the fingers, just the palms. Two palms.
Meanwhile, the daughter's upstairs in the room going, you know, this is... She's like...
I'm hungry.
Yeah, she's...
I'm hungry.
With a Mai Tai, you know, a little paper umbrella. Where is it? Bring it up here. Have it brought to my tent.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because Chris's story... forget it. Go ahead. You tell your story.
About the thing. Actually, it is related to body fluid.
But of course it is. Go ahead.
So I was in kind of a farce where I had a bunch of costume changes, and I played a man and a woman, and then they end up having an affair, so it's very quick costume changes. But I got food poisoning.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and it was I got it about Monday, so I had till about Thursday to thing, but you just, you know what I mean? You just don't know with these things.
Right.
So it's... anyway. Yeah, it was just like, it was pretty... I wore a diaper under my clothes.
You did not.
I did.
You did
I
not.
Did. I just could not. I moved around a lot, and I thought, let me tell you something. I don't know if explosive diarrhea is funny.
You know, I mean? Suddenly don't feel so embarrassed.
Yeah, but I didn't. It was a clean...
Oh, geez, folks. Your story is like a parable now.
Yeah, no. It was, I wore a diaper just to be safe. Just a, you know, a thing. It was...
And then you flew over Michael Sterling's house on Memorial
Yes.
Day.
Yes. Yeah. So that's nothing really embarrassing. That's just... considerate of the cast members in the audience.
I would appreciate it.
You know,
have you done that since? I mean, is that...
Have I had food poisoning?
No.
And then people came up to Chris after the show. They were just like, "So, Chris, how'd the show go?" And you go, "Well, depends."
Oh,
thank you.
We all get there. We all get there. You know, we've just hit all the things. I just want to apologize to everybody out there.
For what?
Why? Just for this, you know, the body fluid thing and this. I've got a lot of shame going on here.
Do you really?
A lot of shame. Yeah.
Really?
Maybe it's a Catholic thing. Let's bring it back around. You know? Anyway, hey, A Flea in the Air, great show. I look forward to seeing it.
Right? Yeah, you were saying when he read for the, because he read for Turnell, as he mentioned, and you were saying when you read the script, it's just like, it's a timeless script.
It's timeless.
Incredibly tight.
But it's bold because, as we talked about earlier, with theater, there's so much of it. But this is real theater.
Yeah.
And you guys are, you know, it's a two-hour show.
Yeah.
But it's good, and when people that want to go see theater, this is the thing to go see.
And that's it's an important point to make, I think. You don't get to see classics often in Equity Waiver, you know, theater in L.A., because, you know, it's a big risk, because it's just, you know, there's a lot of people who can't pull it off. So
it's a great neighborhood, great place to eat around there, and also my show is there. And just don't see shows like that. You just don't see. I'm going to be wearing a diaper.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Actually, oddly enough, Chris is going to be there and breastfeeding, which is.
It happens.
Yeah.
He's already stealing your act.
Yeah.
You know. But we should remind people of how they can see A Flea in the Air.
We should.
Be presented Thursday through Saturdays at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. at the Edgemar Center for the Arts. 2437 Main Street in Santa Monica, California. For tickets and more information, you can visit
Edgemar Center.
Yes, Edgemar Center. All right. I don't know why that didn't register with me. .org. And that's center spelled normally, E-R.org. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, due to very brisk ticket sales, two additional Saturday matinees have been added, June 4th and June 11th at 2 p.m.
They're going to be fun for me, let me tell you. Going to be fun.
Wow, that's going to be an exhausting show.
Show's a bit of a marathon for me, it's a marathon for everybody, but
I got some
stuff going on.
Yeah.
But thank you both.
Yes,
we are at the end of our hour.
Chris, it was very enlightening.
Always. And wonderful to have you both. And,
absolutely,
Michael,
yes.
You got anyone on the horizon, or should they just check out the website for that?
Check out the website, and Paul, again, happy anniversary to us.
Same to you.
Thank you very much, and ladies and gentlemen, see you on the radio.
Yeah.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.